Okay. I'm glad to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. We're going to continue our lesson on the family, God's plan for the home. And I'll tell you something. Every day, it just confirms to me how much these type of lessons are needed. When I get to meet people and when they share their experiences and their troubles with the family, it just confirms how God is right in what He tells us in His holy book, and how we make mistakes. And thinking about the schedule for the rest few lessons, you know, it's just the month of February that we have left on these topics. So if you want to make comments, this is the time, okay? Make comments or any suggestions. We're about to pick up the piece on some topics that are always popular, like Matthew 19, okay? And then we're going to stop at 1 Corinthians 7 also. And then some other topics before we get to the conclusion. But before we move to those topics, I want to dedicate tonight to talk about honoring father and mother. Okay, and I think that's something important for us to consider. Some of us still have our parents. Maybe not all of us, but we had been children at one point, or are still children, and some of us might have children. Okay, but this concept of honoring thy father and thy mother, I think it's very special, important for us to consider, because everything goes around respect. Okay, respect. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start there in Exodus chapter 20. And if you want to look in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to go real briefly over the Ten Commandments. But let me tell you before we read there, Exodus 20, let me tell you something. This commandment of honoring thy father and mother is in different places in the Bible. The first, of course, being Exodus chapter 20, okay, concerning the law of Moses. Then it's repeated again in Deuteronomy, and it's mentioned also in Leviticus, okay? So we have the law of Moses mentions honoring father and mother, okay? Then we come to the New Testament, and we're going to see Jesus facing criticism from the Pharisees. They're criticizing His disciples for not washing their hands. And we'll explore that a little bit as time permits. And then he makes a point using honor thy father and thy mother. Okay, so we might stop there for a little bit in that section. Then, again, we see in Matthew 19, we see the rich young ruler, and this is mentioned by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that this commandment is going to be mentioned in this account of the rich young ruler as one of the commandments he kept. And then lastly, you remember where is in the New Testament, one of the letters where this commandment is mentioned, just like that. Who remembers this? This the book of Ephesians, okay, chapter 6, verse 2. It's going to mention again, honor thy father and thy mother. So we're going to make draw some points here. But if I was to ask you, why are we to honor our parents? Why should we honor our parents? What would you answer? What would you say?
Well, my children, so I don't discipline them.
Okay.
You know, it depends on your age, really. As a young child, you don't want to dishonor your parents because you'll be disciplined and it can hurt, you know.
Very good. Yes. Okay, so we're tying there honoring with obedience. And that's right on the point. That's what the Bible says. Okay, honor and obedience, okay?
They gave you life, they supplied all your needs, they supplied all your training.
Absolutely.
They gave you your existence.
It's just common sense, out of gratefulness, or gratitude rather. A better word. Out of gratitude. Yes, just common sense. But unfortunately, when we're adolescents, I would say, maybe I include myself, I mean, some of us went through that, we just forget, we're so egocentric, and we forget about giving honor to our parents to the point that we tell them, hey, you're the one who brought me to this life. I didn't ask to be born. So I'm saying, just no gratitude at all. No honor to our parents. But definitely, and that's one of the points I'm going to mention, out of gratitude. Any other comment? Why should we honor our parents? Yes, Victor.
God has promised long life.
Excellent, yes. And we see direct application of that in the Old Testament. We're going to see some verses of what happened if you dishonor your parents, because that's something that happened. Okay, so it's a commandment with the promise. Very good. Yes. Anyone else? Okay, yes, Mr. Larry. I'm sorry.
If you can't honor your mother and father, you're going to have trouble honoring other people and people in authority.
Absolutely. Yes, correct. Yes, Deborah?
I have a question. What if your parents are non-Christian and you want to honor them, but what if they want you to do something dishonest? I know you're not supposed to do something dishonest. You know, that's kind of here and there.
Yes, of course. The first thing that the first application we can make is that parents are the first point of contact for children to God. They are there to represent God. That's what we are there for. We represent God to the children. So sometimes parents have decided to neglect children or not take the responsibility. And some other parents, because they don't respect God, they have neglected the responsibility towards their children. So, but there's still a measure of honor and respect. I mean, there's a difference, Deborah, between honoring and obeying.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a difference. Because obeying only goes so far. Mm-hmm. It has a limit. It has two limits. One limit is when you leave the house and get married, then you're away from that responsibility of obeying your parents. Another limit, of course, is when your parents are telling you to do something that is totally against the word of God, then that obedience has a limit in that sense. But reverence is something that just continues all of the life of the parent. Yes?
There's the principle of the greater versus the lesser, and you find it throughout God's word. Here in Exodus, you find it. He starts with the greater, which is the respect for God. That's what the first three commandments are all about. And then down in the commandments, he talks about honoring your father and your mother. That does not supersede your responsibility to God. Ephesians chapter 6, the one you referenced earlier, says children obey your parents in the Lord. That doesn't mean if they're Christians. It means in relationship to the Lord's instructions. And whatever, Peter said it best in Acts chapter 5 when he said we must obey God rather than men. And there are great principles that the Hebrew midwives follow in regards to disobeying Pharaoh, who was less than God. And so they obeyed God's commandments, rather than Pharaoh's commandment to kill babies. Daniel chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 3, you have Daniel in the lion's den, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of those are principles of the greater versus the lesser. And the greater is the one that you ought to always show the greatest amount of honor and respect for in obedience. And so when parents, regardless of the age of the child, when parents give an immoral command, then that command should be disobeyed because it is immoral. It is against the commandments of God.
Absolutely. Thank you for that comment. That clarification. Excellent. Excellent point. Thank you. Let's read real quick this first commandment. I'm in Exodus 20. And Exodus 20 verse 1. And then God spoke all of these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You should have no other gods before me. Okay. Responsibility, relationship towards God. You should not make yourself any craved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of them who hate me, the showing mercy of to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay? Now, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all the, that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Now, honor thy father and thy mother. You see, this is a transitional commandment. First commandments have to do with our relationship with God. Now, our relationship with God has to be straight in order for us to be able to transition, now in this case of the Ten Commandments, to transition to the relationship with human beings. Okay? So if I have my priority is no other God, not taking his name in vain, setting aside this day of rest that was for the Jews in this case, now I can transition to the next commandment, which is involves human beings, and in this case, our parents. Okay? Now, if I have other gods, if I don't respect God, then why honor my parents? Why not commit murder? Why not steal? Why not commit adultery? Why not bear false witness? See, there is the foundation. This obedience, respect towards God Himself and His Word. So we see here for the first time this commandment. Now, so there's different points we can make in this regard, okay? But this is about respect, correct? And then Brother Larry mentioned that if you do not, let's see from the standpoint of children who do not learn to respect God, okay? Respect their parents? Why respect God? Why respect authority? If my father figure is the only figure I have when I'm growing up, I'm the one who's representing God. Okay? So it's important to have this reverence, this respect towards parents. And as we're growing up, when we're children, now we learn to respect God, to respect authority, because we learn to respect our parents. Yes?
That makes me think of the verse, I think it's in one of the Johns, that says, if you cannot love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you have not seen? It's kind of the same principle.
Yes, absolutely. And that principle, I'm glad you mentioned it, applies in different aspects of life. What I cannot do for a fellow human being, how do I expect that I can do it for God? If I'm not able to help someone, someone who's in need, how am I expected to give back to God if I'm not even able to help someone that I can help? And so on and so forth, okay? So it applies in many different aspects, and yeah, that's a very, very good point. Okay, excellent. But now continuing here, I mentioned there's a difference between obeying and between this reverence that we need to give our parents. Now, so the first reason why we should honor them is because it's a commandment. Okay? And I want to make a difference here because there's a really, really a good contrast between the Ten Commandments and the law of Christ. You see, this is a great example. We have the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, but we are not under the Ten Commandments. We're under the law of Christ. And the law of Christ tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 2, that we should honor our father and mother in the Lord. Okay? So we have this really good example of both commandments being restated in the New Testament in the law of Christ. Okay? So the first impression that a child has of love is from his dad and mom. That's the first impression. Now, if mom and dad are able to give the child proper love, now they're going to understand what love is about, what true love is about, and they're going to be able to understand that God also loves. See, in 1 John, we read that we love him because he first loved us. So when parents love, children love back. And then remember, Christ said, if you love me, you do what? You keep my commandments. So out of an appropriate example of love from parents, children grow to respect and reverence their parents. Now therefore, they obey out of reverence. We obey out of reverence our parents. Okay? Now, not only that, but yeah, this love makes children respond back to parents. But anyway, let's go to Leviticus 19:3. Let's just turn the pages and then see the second instance where this commandment is mentioned here in the Old Testament. I'm going to read Leviticus 19, the first three verses. Notice, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." No, look at this. Remember in Peter when it says, "Husbands, treat your wives with understanding, that your prayers may not be hindered." Now look at this. You want to keep my Sabbath, you need to do first honor your mother and your father. It's important. Okay? This is not just external movement, external religious appearance. We need to be sincere. There needs to be integrity. Okay? So if they wanted to keep the Sabbath, they wanted to do the other aspect of the law, it was necessary for them to honor mother and father. And do you notice the order of the names here? Some might accuse the Bible of being pro-man. But look at this. Mothers are mentioned first here. You see, they're at the same level in God's eyes. We only have just different responsibilities. Okay? Different responsibilities. One of the men being to lead, and the woman being the follower of the leader. But he mentions here, everyone shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So here's in the Old Testament. Why should we honor our parents? Because it is a commandment. Now, in the New Testament, more specifically, in Ephesians 6:2, like I mentioned, notice the text says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay? Now, Deuteronomy 5:16. Let's go still on the Old Testament before we go to the New Testament. And then notice Deuteronomy again, 5 and verse 16. It says again, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So here's the promise. You respect your parents. You learn to respect God. You learn to respect authority. And it's going to go well with you. Okay? In the land that you're about to go and possess. Okay, this is Moses preaching to this new your generation. You need to honor your father, because everything starts in the home. You learn to honor your dad, you're going to learn to honor God. Okay, so it's important for us to keep this perspective. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So it is, we see here, a commandment. Now, what happened to someone who didn't obey this commandment in the Old Testament? Anyone remembers? Correct. Okay. Same thing that happened to adulterers. Okay. They were to be stoned. Okay. Isn't that sad that children will grow up to disrespect, to even hit, or be physically violent towards their parents? That just doesn't make any sense. But it's something that has happened and happened nowadays. Notice, for instance, Exodus 21:15. If you're taking notes, Exodus 21:50. And he who strikes his father and mother shall surely be put to death. It says in Exodus 21:15. Okay, now in the same chapter, just a few verses below, Exodus 21:17. And he who curses his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. Okay? Not only striking, but cursing. We're going to see some examples here in a minute. But there's another commandment, Leviticus 18:7. Okay, if you're taking notes, I'm going to read it. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Remember someone who's one of his sons saw him naked? Do you remember? Who was this?
Noah.
It was Noah. Yes. And what was that? It was Noah. And Ham saw his nakedness, yeah, and then he was cursed, okay? That's from him where the Canaanites come from, okay? So we see here another commandment. Now, in that same chapter, Leviticus chapter 18, now I'm in verse 9, just a couple of verses below, the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, your nakedness you shall not uncover. So we see respect beyond parents, also to your sisters, your brothers, to your immediate relatives. So we need to obey. Here in the Old Testament, we see there's a commandment, but we see also in the New Testament that there's a commandment. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. So we see here, we're not doing it because it is in the Ten Commandments. We're doing it because it is in the law of Christ. Remember in Romans 7, there cannot be two laws at the same time. I don't know a country that has two different laws at the same time. It has to be only one law, one constitution. Okay, we're not here under the U.S. Constitution and maybe France Constitution. There's two different constitutions. So we are only under the Constitution of Christ. That's why we reverence and obey our parents. Now that these are similar, these commandments are similar, well, it happens also in different constitutions, different laws, okay? But I'm amendable, or I'm responsible to obey the law of Christ, okay? So that's important for us to mention for us as Christians. That's why we honor our father and mother. Okay, and there's also other passages in the New Testament that teach you this. But why do we honor our parents? Well, one is because it's a commandment, but like Brother Mike Ferguson mentioned, just out of simple gratitude. We show gratitude. And God likes gratitude. That we're grateful for what they have given us. Doesn't matter if it was a lot or a little. I mean, we're here, we're alive. That's what matters. We're here. And it is because, a big part, because of our parents. Okay, what they sacrificed for us when we couldn't feed ourselves, when we couldn't change our own clothes, when we couldn't do anything for ourselves, but they took care of it. And it makes me think, when we think about the plan of redemption, we were talking about good parents, and we were using the example of Joseph and Mary. You see, the plan of redemption has moved providentially many nations. Had moved Babylon. It moved the Medo-Persian Empire. It moved the Grecian Empire. Then the Roman Empire. Kings were put off. Kings were put on thrones. All for the sake of the plan of redemption. Everything in God's hand. Now, the only moment for saying it like this, that it wasn't in God's hands in a way, I mean, it's in God's hands all the time, but then he gave the baby to two godly parents, and they're the ones who are going to take care of him. God saying, okay, I've moved kings, I've moved thrones, but now I'm going to put my son, all of this plan of redemption, in the hands of two godly parents, Joseph and Mary. Because he knew who he was choosing, Joseph and Mary. Just very interesting to think about. I was thinking about that. But We're grateful for our parents. I remember when I was 18 and my dad had a car, and we call him Chevys. I don't think have seen that type of motor here in the States. It was a small car, very fuel efficient. And then he let me drive it. And I was about 18. I don't remember how old I was, but I was in that age, 18, maybe 19 for the most. And sure enough, I had an accident. I hit, there was a railroad crossing, and I was driving, and this truck in front of me stopped suddenly, and I was just looking around. I don't know what happened. I didn't realize, and I was stopped by the truck when I hit it from behind. Now the guy just steps out, looks at his truck, says, "Okay, my truck is good. I'm just going." Okay. And he left. That's fine. I said, "Okay, just go." I mean, his truck was fine. It was my car who was damaged. Well, not my car. My dad's car was damaged. So I drive it home, put it in the garage, and then put a towel in front of the, you know, cover it with a towel. So when he comes, he sees the car, is everything perfect. But now as soon as he removes the towel, he said, "Oh no, here's the big bend." I mean, here in the front of the car. And I will never forget the way he reacted. I'll never forget. And I'm grateful for that. Because he was merciful towards me. He told me the story when he borrowed his dad, my grandfather's car, and the same thing happened to him. And I don't think, in my opinion, my grandfather was really merciful to him. I don't think. But he was merciful to me. And I'm grateful for that. Because I can be merciful to my son as well, because I learned that lesson. So our parents make mistakes. Some of them might not be Christians. Some of them might be unfaithful. And they made mistakes. And I remember a fellow student from the school of preaching. He grew away from his dad, but there was one time on Father's Day he posted a picture of his dad. And he said, "Well, I'm grateful for this man." And I'm grateful for my dad too. I mean, we all made mistakes. Now, it doesn't mean that I will condone everything he does, but I'm grateful for the times that he helped me. Same thing happens with my mom. When I was growing up, I was younger than 18. I was probably, 14. Let me see if I get about 14 years old or so, maybe 13, 14. You know, these kids in the neighborhood, we will gather at a little square, little plaza, there was trees and stuff, and we would gather during the night, sit down and just chat and talk, and, you know, some of them smoked. And it won't take long. If you're hanging with them, you're going to want to smoke too. So it just happened like a soap opera, like a movie. First time they offered me the cigarette, I said, "Okay, yeah, that's fine. Let me try." I didn't have a clue how to do it. But as I was proudly holding it on my mouth and trying to do whatever they were doing, my mom drives right across the in front of that. And I had the cigarette on my mouth. And I've been naive that she might not have seen me. She yelled my name real loud. And which I didn't, of course, that embarrassed me because I'm with my guy friends just sitting there. And as soon as I sit on the passenger seat, I get one of the hardest slaps on my face that I've felt. And that's the only one she's given me like that. It was hard. But it made the trick. I mean, it fulfilled its purpose. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. I mean, she could have said, "Well, I don't care where you are. It's late. It doesn't matter. Just come whenever you want to come. I don't care who you're hanging out with. I don't care if you smoke or not." But I'm grateful. Who knows what might have happened. Okay? So, in Luke 11:13, in this parable of praying, being persistent in prayer, notice Luke 11:13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" See, we are good parents. We can be good parents. We want the best for our children. Okay, so we need to be grateful for that. We need to be grateful to God for the mercy towards us in our mistakes. You remember the parable of the prodigal son? When he came back, his father was waiting for him. His father was was happy to see him come back. His father made a feast when he was found. That's the point of the parable. He was found, and there's heaven rejoiced because a son that was lost is found. So we need to be grateful and give honor to our parents because of what they did. And then we grow up, and then our children, we try to give them everything we didn't have. See, I didn't have toys. I didn't have Legos when I grew up. I didn't have a soccer ball. I didn't have really fancy soccer shoes or baseball bat or basketball ball. And I want to give them everything I didn't have, but we forget sometimes to give them what we did have. And parents, even though we make mistakes, we're still able to give them good gifts to our children. There's good things we do, or parents have done. So we need to, before we try to give them what we didn't have, we must give them what we did have. Because if we're alive, something our parents must have done correct for us to get to this point. So we need to be grateful. Any comments so far over here?
Raphael, one of the important elements of teaching our children about respect is if we ourselves are respectful to others.
Mm-hmm.
If we're respectful to those that are in authority, even behind their back, when the kids can see them. You know, we go home and we're always talking about our boss and how negative he is, or we're talking about somebody who has authority over us. We're always talking negative about government officials, and that's pretty easy. But I mean, talking negative about police officers and I mean, everybody that's in authority, we're always talking negative about them. It's really going to be hard to then teach our children to respect and honor those because they're going to see that the nature is that I'm showing them is to disrespect authority.
Absolutely, the example draws is strong. It draws to whether it's good or bad. The example is very important. What they see is that what they're going to do, regardless of what we say. They're going to do what they see us do. Correct. So we're showing respect ourselves in an honest, sincere heart. They're going to most likely be able to do the same. At least we're going to give them that opportunity. That's not going to be an excuse for them not to do it. Very good point. Thank you. So we honor them out of gratitude. Another reason why we honor father and mother is to show them love. Okay? Because they showed us love. At least that's our duty as parents, to be able to show love. And one way to show love is discipline. He who loves his child disciplines him. Okay? And then at the beginning, discipline might be hard, but if it's done correctly, it's going to be done out of love. So we're going to love him back. Hebrews 12:9, the chapter of Hebrews 12 speaks of discipline from God. But notice verse 9. Furthermore, we have had a human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. See? Because they corrected us. It's going to be hard for a father and a mother to give the wrong advice to a child. And when I was teaching young men, teenagers and college students, I would tell them, your parents are never going to give you bad advice. They want the best for you. They want the best for you. And they've been through it. So instead of listening to your friends or to someone else, the first advice you should take is that of your parents, because they're not willing harm towards you. Okay? We might have think so when we're growing up or adolescents or something, but that's not the case. Our parents discipline us out of love, and then we pay them respect. Okay? And then he continues the verse, shall we much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So he's making an application. If we give honor to our parents, we also are going to learn from them, from the discipline that also God disciplines us out of love, and we also pay him respect for the love he shows us. Now there's two, I have here a set of brothers who paid respect to their parents when they died. Do you remember who they were? Two brothers, one set of brothers, and then another set of brothers who they're described as being at the tomb of their father when he died. First one is, of course, Isaac and Ishmael. It says that whatever happened, they were divided. You know, Hagar and Ishmael were sent another way, and Isaac remained with Abraham until he found Rebekah. But when Abraham died, in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, you're going to learn that both were paying him respect to Abraham. They came back to see him. Okay, very important. This point. And the same thing happened with Isaac. Isaac paid respect, okay, or rather Jacob and Esau paid respect to Isaac when Isaac died. See, whatever the conflict happened at the beginning with Jacob and Esau, things had been settled before Isaac died, and then he died, and they're both there present. So it tells us that if we do it, it's going to be done to us as well. See the example there from Isaac and Ishmael, and then Jacob and Esau following that on that example, on those steps. So very, very, very important. They were showing the love back to their parents. Okay? Now, another reason, and we've seen some reasons, but in the book of 2 Kings, there is an example. 2 Kings chapter 2, that I want to read just briefly. And 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Do you remember what happened with this group of youth men who were making fun of the prophet? Notice in verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel. Okay. Now, of course, we're talking, this is a time when there's a transition from Elijah to Elisha. Okay. And then Elijah is going to receive a double portion from Elijah when he was taken up in heaven. So we see the beginning of the work of Elijah. So as he was going up from there to Bethel, and he was going up of the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him. You see? They were making fun of him. And said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." Total disrespect. Not only was he a man of God, but he was also an older man. And just being old should be enough for them to have paid him due respect. Okay? But on top of this, he's a man of God. And we see an example here. God is not going to take it lightly when this happens. And respect is really, really important in the Christian's life. And respect to our parents, of course. Respect to the elderly. Respect to anyone who is older than us. And so notice what happened. They were making fun of him. Go up, you bald head, you bald head. Verse 24, so he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. And this is not something that can we say out of proportion. Most of the miracles Elijah and then Elisha made really, really, I don't know what the word would be, but they caught your attention. They're impressive. Okay? So there's going to be an impressive punishment as well for making fun of this man of God, old man. So we see here the importance God gives to reverence. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, notice, look at this, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, maybe a chapter that we don't visit that often, because it speaks about widows. But look at this. 1 Timothy 5. It says, do not rebuke an older man. Look at this. But exhort him as what? As a father. No, be careful with the older person. I mean, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Younger men as brothers. Notice, older women as mothers. You're going to treat an older woman at the church just as you would treat your mother, with respect. You're going to treat an old man at church, at the congregation, just like you would treat your father. There's no distinction of persons here. There's respect. You're going to treat with respect younger men, and you're going to treat with respect younger women. Treat them as sisters, like if she was your sister, with all purity. But then notice, honor widows who are really widows. Again, honor to this older woman who are in need, and then without any relatives, without anyone else to help them. Notice, verse 4, but if any widow has children and grandchildren, look at this, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, to show them honor. There is a needy person. Now she has children. Now we're going to give them the opportunity first because it's their duty. Notice, because this is good and acceptable before God. The children, we take care of our parents first before we make him, make someone else take care of them. That's the good and acceptable in the eyes of God. Okay? And then he keeps on going on this context. That's when we have this text, what it says in verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, again, in the context here of these widows, and especially for those of his household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, worse than an unbeliever for not being able to provide for the cares of your own family members. Okay, honor, respect. Now, I skipped that section in the encounter with the Pharisees. The Pharisees found a way not to show respect, economic respect to their parents. They call it korban. So Jesus come, and they are accusing Jesus' disciple of not washing their hands. But let's not be confused. He's not talking about washing your hands like we're doing today because there's a virus going around. See, I met a man and said, I'm going to wash my hands every time I think about it because there's a virus going around. He's not talking about that type of washing. It's a tradition because there were Pharisees, and they, if they were in contact with any Gentiles, in their view, they were defiled. So they had to do this ceremonial washing, but this ceremonial washing is nowhere in the Bible. It's just a tradition. So Jesus, he's accused of violating a tradition, and instead of taking time to deal with that tradition, I mean, they knew it was a tradition, he goes back to, again, I mean, he accuses them of violating the law of Moses, of respecting father and mother, because of their tradition. Because they say, well, this money, I already tagged it, korban, it belongs to God. I cannot give it to anybody else. But your dad is in need. Sorry, I already tagged it. Korban is for God. It's a special use. But see, your mother is in need, but sorry, I mean, my money is already tagged for God. And what they were doing is just violating the law of Moses in that regard. So they were accusing him of violating a tradition. He accused them of violating the actual law of Moses by their tradition and withholding this economic honor that they should be giving to their parents because they weren't giving it to them by this tradition. And if you want to read more about this, it's in Matthew chapter 15. You're going to read this account. It's also also mentioned in Mark chapter 7. But God confronted them. I mean, Jesus confronted them for not keeping this commandment and making excuses for not fulfilling it. Now, the rich young ruler. We go to the rich young ruler, and he says, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom?" And he said, "You know the commandments, and then in that section, honor your father and mother is mentioned." And the rich young ruler said, "Yes, I have kept these commandments from my youth." I have honored my father and mother. I have not committed adultery. I have not murdered anyone. I have not stealed. I have not bore false witness, and so on. And I have honored my father and mother. What else do I need to do? Okay, and now Jesus tells him what he needs to do. Any comments so far before the bell rings? I want to thank you for your patience in this this topic. I believe it's important for us. If you have a mom and dad, we have the responsibility to pay them honor. Okay? Because it's a commandment out of love, out of gratitude, out of everything they've done to us. There's, it's not biblical to disrespect or disregard our parents and still want to be faithful Christians. And I hope that can be impressed in our minds tonight. Thank you for your kind attention, and thank you for the comments. We're going to go, Lord willing, to Matthew 19 on Sunday, and possibly to 1 Corinthians 7 on Wednesday. So let's be reading those sections.